ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Saturday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Cody Walker's one-game suspension for lashing out and kicking Jack Cogger, who's got a two-game suspension for a high tackle. Firstly, Luke Lewis, what was your reaction to that this morning?
Yeah, look, I actually thought he might have got a little bit more than 1 week. But look, you come out, you apologised, which I'm happy with. I didn't like the look of it. So I actually thought it was, just for the look of it, it was worth probably two. I really like Cody Walker. I've never seen him react like that before, but... yeah, look, he owned it. He came out and apologised. He got 1 week for it. I was expecting two, so I can live with it.
Yeah, I thought he should have been sent off, honestly, and should have got 2 weeks. But there you go. What was your reaction, MC? Were you watching at home?
It's a weird one, yeah. It's a weird one because, you know, very rarely do we say anything is deliberate in this game. And that's a deliberate act, 100%. Right? So I can understand why you're saying it should be a send-off. Look, but on the flip side, the harm is minimal.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be the problem. Well, the harm isn't minimal because the harm is not done on the field there. The harm's done of every other kid that was watching the game. That's the harm. It actually looked worse than I've seen anything in the game.
So what would you have given him? You
would have sent him off too. Players because I sit there and think, it's not about that what he's done about, you know, coming over and not making much image. It's the image he's painted to the kids that watch it. The reason why we don't have fights in the game is the exact same thing. We can't have players and professionals wandering around going, well, I got frustrated, I'm going to kick someone.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's my opinion. And I like Cody Walker.
As soon as one kid moves in a direction towards another player and kicks him in the leg, that's where the problem is. And players get suspended all the time when opposition players don't get hurt. That should be irrelevant to
no,
a red suspended. No, but anyway, no, he does
no,
have
he
a one game
ban. I'm talking about the send off.
Well, I don't know if you don't get sent off for going out of your way to kick somebody. I don't know when you will. But apart from that, we can all debate that until the sun goes down. But it was such an entertaining game for a 36-14 win. Penrith started really sharp, and then South Sydney looked like, I thought going into half time, they were the team with the momentum. But they just couldn't hold the ball early in the second half, and Penrith made them pay. But Tom Jenkins, I think we do need to speak about him. Now, we saw a couple of replays, and then our monitor in ground was interrupted by ads. It looked from the two versions we saw of the replay that he kept his left arm, the ball-carrying arm, up. Plenty of people are now saying that it shows, and I think you saw it again this morning, Bluey, that his arm did hit the deck. It should have been a double movement. I thought he kept his fingers on the footy to score the try. You disagreed with that, and again, plenty of people are debating that. Just putting that aside for one moment, 25 tries through 18 rounds.
Phenomenal.
It's unfathomable.
And you got to think about it. I was thinking about this too. I was looking at a couple of players' stats that have had great careers. They've only scored a certain amount of tries in their whole career. He could literally keep going on the run. He could outscore him in 1 year, which blows my mind. That's the part that really just throws me out there. You know, like I sit there and you look at the way that he scored, the tries that he scored. He had a little bit of a rough patch there where he went through three or four games where he didn't score a try. But I reckon that's it. He's going to get the record, I reckon. I can just see it. The way that he plays, I love what he's doing. Going back to the try that we're talking about, there was some videos that we didn't see that night that I've seen this morning, and there was one where you can actually see the ball-carrying arm touch the ground, and it had a player on top of him, so that's classed as a tackle. So that is promoting the ball. And at first, there was a couple of other visions. You can see it looks like the ball misses. But you know the part that got me over it all?
The explanation.
Because we heard an explanation from him, I was going, okay, that is what it is. I'm happy to live with it.
What he's doing, though, so we could be witnessing history. Now, bear in mind Dave Brown's record of 38 tries. They came in 15 games back in the mid-1930s, which, wrap your head around that, when you touch the corner post and you're out back in those days as well. But what he's doing could be historic here.
It could be, and he's well on track. He's playing in the side that is going to finish as minor premiers as well. So you're going to assume that they're going to have some blowout victories, and he just looks so confident. Every time he touches the ball now, you're on your feet, right? So he's become one of those players that whenever he gets the ball, you think he can score, and he's just the confidence, his ability to step in field and just finish things. And, he's more than just a finisher at the moment. He's creating his own opportunities to score tries.
He's great at the back too.
I was going to say, though, that the other part that we're not talking about, and he does this all the time, he gets higher than anyone I've ever seen that jumps for a ball.
That one catch yesterday nearly...
Yeah,
that
was ridiculous. But he's done a couple of them this year where he just gets up so high. He's so brilliant at it. But then you had Larry Daly speak about during the week that they wanted.
Larry
Daly. Yeah, I was trying to say Larry Daly, but it came out.
You don't
Dory.
Mean Larry David, see, do you? Or Hooley Dooley?
That's too funny. That's where we have technical difficulties, see? But if I had.
See, I think if Jada Taylor just sticks to the English dictionary rather than the Luke Lewis dictionary, she'll be okay.
I'll let her know, too. Don't make sure she doesn't drop the G's. But when Laurie was speaking, I started thinking about Milky Jenkins. I think he would be brilliant in a blue jersey under the high balls and attacking opportunity. So
that's what I said last night on air, but Blues must be flying if they can do without him.
Yeah. Well, I reckon he's not far off.
He might play in the World Cup at the end of the season.
The way he's playing, he wouldn't look out of place.
So do you think you'll get 38 or better? He's got 8 games left to get.
He'll get 30. I'm going to back him.
13 tries to equal the record. He needs 14 tries. And his last was, what was the stat from Jonty yesterday? Is it the last 11 games?
His doubles, triples or quads?
Yes, at least doubles.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Rugby League is on your radio.
NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Of course, next Wednesday night we'll be on air from Lang Park in Brisbane from 7 p.m. Myself, Luke Lewis, John Gibbs and Matthew Elliott. It is the decider. Queensland lost the first game in Sydney, having led 20-0 after the Kalen Ponga send-off, and they absolutely annihilated New South Wales in the second half of the MCG in Game 2. So it is 1-1. A key player for Queensland is on the line there, hooker Harry Grant. G'day, Harry.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Mate, excellent. Excited that we've got another series decider up in Brisbane. There's probably not a better spot for it, I'm sure you'd agree.
Oh, yeah, no, it is a pretty good place to play footy, NRL level and definitely State of Origin. But, yeah, preparation's well underway and, yeah, getting a fair bit of training under our belt and, yeah, looking forward to Wednesday.
You've been in this stage a fair bit in recent years now, Harry. So does a deciding game, does that affect you mentally in any different way to other Origin games or is each one sort of treated the same way?
Yeah, they all carry a fair bit of weight, and obviously, you sort of approach them differently. I guess game one's a little bit of the unknown. You come into the series, and a lot of time there's some new faces and that kind of thing in the squad. And yeah, it's a real clean slate. Game two, you get to work on from game one, and then game three. I guess it's majority of the time, game three is the one that decides whether you're going to hold the shield up or not. And both teams have got that opportunity, so really looking forward to that.
You mentioned new faces, mate. One of those new ones ahead of game one was Sam Walker. He's obviously had an outstanding series, but how different is he as playing alongside him at hooker compared to, you know, I guess Jerome Hughes at club level?
Yeah, no, he's pretty similar, to be fair. Like he's he's got so many strings to his bow, and I think at the end of the day, I just love playing footy for the fun of it. And I guess no one really, no one typifies that more than Sammy Walker. He looks like he's out there just in the backyard having fun. And he's done a really good job of barking orders and directing the troops around. And I think he really sets his game up in the right areas. I think we all see the flashy plays, the big plays. But, he really does the little things well. And he's done that throughout the series. And he's got one more game to do that too.
What have you made of Queensland's performance in this series? Probably unlucky a little bit in game one, dominant particularly in that second half in game two, but it's sort of been an up and down series for both sides.
It has. It's had a bit of everything, I guess you can say. But I think, like I said earlier, you sort of use game one and two to learn, to be better and then go again. And, yeah, I think both teams have got that opportunity. We know New South Wales are going to be better better for the run in game one and game two, and have a fair few areas that they want to work on. And we got a fair few areas that we want to work on. So, it's exciting as a player in the game, but also for fans and, Queenslanders, New South Wales supporters going forwards into Wednesday.
Well, just the last couple of years alone, Harry, Queensland has emphasised the fact that when opportunities come, you need to take them at Origin level. It was 3 games in a row this year and last where you'd led 20-0, and then he did it the reverse way at the MCG, down 12-8 at half time, and ran in 6 tries in the second half. Is that a real feature of what you guys do. That is capitalise on opportunities and really make them count.
Yeah, no, it is. I think everyone sort of knows that opportunity that you've got, and yeah, you're coming up against the best of the best and the New South Wales side, and you know you're not going to get too many opportunities, and when they do present themselves, you kind of just got to back your natural game and take those, and yeah, game three will be no different, and it's the same for their side, and I'm sure they'll be looking to take their opportunities too, but it makes for an exciting game of footy.
I'm really keen to hear your thoughts on Cam Munster, being your long-term Melbourne Storm teammate and obviously Queensland State of Origin captain, because up until kind of Origin one time, his form had been down by his own admission and maybe even for an extended period of time and all the injuries he's had to deal with, we know that. But, of course, Origin time comes around and he produces man of the match performances for Melbourne, who start a resurgence, and we've seen how brilliant he's been in State of Origin. Tell us about him and whether his, you know, does his moods change dramatically depending on his own form? Because he's a brutally honest self-assessor.
Yeah, he is honest, and that's probably, one of the things you love about him, but also he's pretty hard on himself. He critiques his own game pretty harshly. But he holds high standards of himself and the people around him. But yeah, I don't think he was, you know, playing as bad as he thought and people thought. At the end of the day at Clubland, we probably collectively weren't getting the results we needed. And, you know, sometimes that pressure or that weight can fall on the shoulders of Cam, and he would take a lot of the weight himself. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, he's a player you want to play with. He does all, like I said before about Sammy, he does all the little things well. You know, he's the ultimate competitor. And if you look at him in a game, he never looks tired. I don't know what he's got. I might have to get on his diet or something like that. Or yeah, I don't know. He's probably like that around the group too. He's full of energy all the time. He's always looking to get around the players, his teammates, and you know, do something. So yeah, he's real enjoyable to play alongside.
Have you G'd him up this week around Liam Martin and reigniting that battle between Munster and Martin?
Oh, no, not really. I think, you know, you'll know what Marto's going to bring to a footy team in an Origin arena, and, you know, he's done that numerous times. But, yeah, in saying that too, Mun, he likes, you know, playing his game, and he has certain ways to go about getting the best out of himself as a competitor, as a player, and yeah, I think Cam's pretty experienced in that manner, and yeah, I don't need to tell him what to do. I think he knows how to get himself right for his game.
Mind you, you've still got 4 or 5 days just to throw a few hints his way if you just want to G up the captain a little bit. Billy Slater, you've played your entire career under arguably rugby league's greatest ever coach in Craig Bellamy, and Billy Slater is at least on track to be Mal Meninga-esque in what he's done for Queensland in State of Origin. Obviously very different roles, Origin coach to club coach, but what has impressed you most in the Billy Slater regime?
Yeah, I think it's enjoyable to, you know, to continue to learn from him and have him there as a mentor. And yeah, I like, at the end of the day, we can't get too ahead of ourselves and just got to keep bringing it back to our preparation and, you know, getting things right for Wednesday. There's a lot of outside noise about that at the moment, but at the end of the day, Bill's really good at, you know, preparing us to our best of our ability to allow us to perform well. And, you know, that's one of the main things in the game and something that Billy was really good at. And I got to experience that firsthand at Melbourne when I was a young kid coming through. Yeah, so I think there's a whole lot of respect there in a sense of Bill as a player, but also now as a coach too.
Have you ever had any sly chats to him, mate, about potentially reuniting in Melbourne?
Oh, nah, definitely haven't even thought about that, to be fair. I think there's a lot of noise around it at the moment, but, you know, I think I'd like to just have Belzer there for as long as we can. And, yeah, he signed another couple of years with the club, so I think that's probably where my mind's at.
I mean, it's hard to imagine Craig doing anything else but coaching the Melbourne Storm. But, Harry, you've got Queensland Origin things to worry about coming up on Wednesday night. Another decider. Can't wait. Go well, mate. Thanks for joining us today.
Good on you guys. Yeah, thank you. Cheers.
You can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Cover Time.
Michael, the drums are rolling. What have you got first up?
Bit of news surrounding the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Terrell Sloan.
I thought you were going to say the coach.
That would have been awesome.
That Terrell Sloan, what's
doing? Yeah, he's off to Castleford. So he becomes the third player from the Dragons to join Castleford. Fee-Guy and Damien Cook are the others. Ryan Carr, who was the assistant coach at the Dragons, an interim coach at a time at this club, coaches Castleford. So he's out of here, and it's an interesting one because you always look at him and you go, there's an NRL player in there, but he just has struggled for consistency and hasn't developed the areas of the game that he really needed to develop to be a week-in, week-out first grader.
And he seems to be an outstanding person too, Tyrell Sloane. Very community conscious. And any time you speak with him or hear him speak, you're really, really impressed with him. And speed, with his speed, you just you kind of think you should be an elite player.
He would kill it overseas.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be surprised. He gets Man of Steel and he'll brain it over there.
The speed and size. And, you know, he's got all the attributes to be a really good player. Other clubs, you know, the Warriors looked at loaning him for the rest of this season. But no guarantee for a contract for next year. So, his time in the NRL, at least in the short term, will come to an end at the end of this season.
Well, Dufty went over there and come back.
He did. And he's got more to his game than Matt Dufty, you'd say, in terms of upside.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and this is the issue is this is, he's had multiple coaches, right, that haven't been able to unlock him. This is, you know, from Paul McGregor to Anthony Griffin, Shane Flanagan, now Dean Young. No one has been able to unlock him yet. So I would have liked him to go on to another NRL club for 12 months just to see with a different environment if they could do it. But no,
Craig Bellamy. Like, I would have loved to have seen Craig Bellamy.
Somewhere. Like, you know, you just feel it like, because there's a player there, right? But no, off to the Super League. And he'll be joined in the Super League by Dylan Walker, who will be going to Leeds next season under Brad Arthur. So Dylan Walker's had a really good NRL career. Premiership, played for Australia, played for New South Wales, and still having an impact on games. But it's a 31, I think it's a three-year deal. And it's really interesting. This was probably
three-year deal, wow. Okay.
About 12 players now have gone to the Super League. And I certainly thought that with expansion, new side coming in, we're not going to see a lot of players go, but we're seeing Damien Cook, Roger Tuivasa, Sheck. Jesse Arthurs, like there's a long list of players, three obviously turning out for the Dragons today that are going to the Super League, and it's the length of deals that's been the big point. Cam McInnes, like these guys who you look at and go, you got at least 12 months.
They're still legit first grade.
Yeah,
aren't they?
That's right. But no, they're gone. So that's the surprising thing. I'm a little bit surprised by the number of players that have elected to go to the Super League, but it's that length of deal.
Okay, and finally?
Moses Leota. So that's his name has been in the headlines over the past couple of days. Under this early permission that has been granted by the Penrith Panthers, he's got till July 8th, so Wednesday, before that window closes to talk to rival clubs. And once that closes, he'll have to wait to November 1.
Interesting. Okay, so Moses Leota, he's early 30s, isn't he?
Yeah, 31. Later this month.
Yes, currently 30 years of age, under contract next year. Are you surprised they're...
No, not
going to let him go? No?
It's not to say they're going to let him go, Andrew. It's not, like they're not pushing him out the door. He's still contracted for next year, but it's twofold. If I'm a club, I'm not signing Moses Leota unless I get him next year, because otherwise you're buying him in his 33rd... Like, he'll be 33 by the time when he gets to your club at the halfway point of that first season. So... You know, and he's played a lot of footy. So if I'm a club, I'd want him for next year.
Yeah.
But Penrith may be reluctant to let him go a year early.
Do you love rugby league?
NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
State of Origin time it is. Game 3 comes up on Wednesday. Earlier in the day, we caught up with Queensland hooker Harry Grant, and now we speak to New South Wales setter Stephen Crichton on the line from Blues Camp. G'day, Stephen. How are you going?
Hey, boys. How are you? It's all good. Thanks for having me.
No, mate, our pleasure. It's nice to see you back in the team. That must have been horribly frustrating to miss out in Game 2 of the MCG.
It was definitely a hard decision to make, but I knew, especially in the Origin Arena, you've got to be 100% to go out there and not just get the job done for the boys, but for the state as well. But on the other side, just, grateful to be back in camp with the boys. And, camp's been really well as well.
Yeah, I don't know whether your form was struggling so much, but you seemed to be a bit battered a few weeks ago. And now we've seen you the last few weeks, or a couple of weeks, playing at 5'8 for Canterbury, and your form seems to have returned to its best. That really seems to have turned your personal season around. Would you agree with that or not?
Yeah, it's been a good change for myself. The shoulder's gone really well now. Just have to needle it at the start of games and things like that, but still getting through full contact throughout the week now, which is really good. And I feel like good repetition throughout the week. You just play well on the weekends. But, the positional change has been really well. Got a good coaching staff there and good boys there chasing after games. So it's been really well.
Stephen, how has camp been for this decider so far?
No, camp's been really well. Had a slow start at the start of the week, just a lot of meetings and sitting down how we want to play and just getting full clarity on what we want to look like and physically and mentally as well. And had two really good field sessions now and just a lot of lessons taken out of game one and game two and fixed up a few errors there where we can really chase after the game and make the game a lot easier for ourselves. But it's not going to be perfect, as we always say, but ready to go.
Where is the part that we went wrong, I suppose, in games one and two? I know we got the game right, obviously got the win in game one. Game two, we sort of fell behind. But where are the parts that we need to improve to make sure we get them up there in Queensland?
Oh, I feel like just fundamental errors, making it, like, definitely hard. There's always going to be errors, but I feel like defending our errors as well and just having that connection out on the edges and going into the game with full confidence. With a defensive mindset is a big thing too, and I feel like we've really nailed the past couple of days at training, and still got a few more days to really nail our preparation with a defensive mindset coming into the game. And it's just been really well.
What about, mate, obviously watching your 5A, I thought you were brilliant for the Bulldogs. I think it could be in your new position. It'd been outstanding. Have they actually thrown you in there to have a little bit of a run and sort of do a bit of whatever the word is.
Switcheroo.
That's right. Switcheroo with Mitch Moses there.
Oh, nah. We've got a few players here. We've got a few 5'8s that are hanging around as well. So those boys are getting their repetition in there as well and get the reps out in centre, which is really well, and getting that connection with the boys as well. But, fingers crossed nothing happens. But if I do get thrown in there, I'll just go out there and play a simple game and just run around with the boys.
How is the body, mate? Have you been able to do full training this week?
Yeah. Funny enough, I haven't been doing wrestle back at the Dogs, but this week at the start, we started off with a wrestle session at the start of the week and got thrown into there and did the full wrestle session and shoulder pulled up really well. So I'm very excited and probably cleared my mind a bit as well, finishing off that wrestle session and with no injuries too. So it's been good.
I think you guys did an opposed session against the Queensland Cup side today. Can you give us an update on Ethan Strange and if he took part or where he's at after that knock that he took to his ankle a couple of days ago?
He obviously rolled his ankle at the start of the week and he's probably just been monitoring it and doing a few things with the physios, and we've got all-class physios here. I've been injured a few times in Origin camp and they've gotten me to the game as well. And even talking to Stranger, he's in good spirits and he reckons he's sweet and he should be able to get there come game time. But, I'll probably leave that up to the physios.
Louis has always said, playing up there in Brisbane, that crowd noise is crowd noise. He loved playing up there. How is it different? It's got the nickname The Cauldron. It's a decider. You're going to hear the crowd, Stephen, as you well know. What makes that place different? And do you enjoy it or not?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. I feel like as a kid, you want to play on the biggest stages, and there's no better place to play Origin decider in Queensland, up against Queensland, obviously. And we're going to be, obviously, in enemy territory and in high-pressure moments. Kind of brings the best out of players and brings their true colours. And I feel like I played in some pretty big games. So going into this week is just keeping it nice and simple and just having full confidence in the boys that are around me to get their job done. And first and foremost, getting my job done as well. So I'm very excited. There's no better game you want to be a part of, especially an Origin decider. So I'm very keen.
We spoke with Harry Grant earlier, Stephen, about, amongst other things, their ability to capitalise opportunities and really score points in clumps. And it's been in the first half of games. Then in Melbourne, it was the second half where they absolutely dominated to win. How important is it for New South Wales, A, to show some resilience in that area, and B, I guess take their example and any opportunity that comes up, you convert it into points?
Yeah, it's going to be very important, especially in the Origin Arena. There's strike players all over the park, so we definitely have to be 100% switched on our edges with the strike that they have out there. And it's going to be a good challenge for us boys, but we've definitely spoken about it and kind of got a plan around that. And I'm very excited to take them head on as well.
We're excited to see Jack Bostock make his Origin debut. He got called into the squad for the MCG game. He's been in brilliant form for the Dolphins, albeit in the centres. He's playing in the wing on Wednesday night. What have you seen from Jack in camp?
Yeah, just a calm little head. He's still young, very young as well, and he's got a lot to develop. But the attributes that his game has, especially in the air and the way he carries the ball, I've seen it a few times at training now, just how hard he carries the ball. And I'm very excited to see how he goes, and I'm sure the boys around him will rally around him and give him the confidence that he needs to get the job done as well, and with us boys too.
All right, Stephen, great to chat with you. Appreciate your availability on this Saturday afternoon. Enjoy the rest of camp, mate, and good luck on Wednesday.
All good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.